I'm Celeste Headley. This is On Second Thought. How did you sleep last night? If you didn't get a restful 7 hours, my next guest wants to know why. Emory University professor Ben Reese says a good night's rest can be spoiled by a lot of things that are out of our control. His new book is called Wild Nights, How Taming Sleep Created Our Restless World. And Ben joins me in studio. Good night of rest?
Pretty good. Yeah, not too bad.
Have you always had good sleep?
No. I've gone through periods of having really poor sleep, and I've had some periods where it's just come to me magically.
So what led you to this? You teach English, right, at Emory? What led you to sleep?
Well, I've been interested for a long time in connections between humanities and the health sciences. And I think, humanities is often the under-examined side of the way we live our lives. And things that perplex us in contemporary world have histories that people in the humanities like myself can shed some light on. So I was really fascinated by why people seem so obsessed by sleep. Why in a time in our society when there's more restful and safe and hygienic sleeping conditions available to more people than ever before in human history, why so many people feel like they can't do it correctly? They have to train their children how to do it and sort of retrain themselves, put themselves under surveillance at night with sleep trackers. We were talking about this earlier.
I have a sleep tracker.
Yeah, right. I mean, so why do we, it's a basic human activity. Why all the fuss around it? And it seemed to me that it was something that the literary record, the documentary record of history could shed some light on.
We definitely need to hear back from our listeners, by the way, as we continue this conversation. I want to know how much sleep you normally get. Now, healthy, doctors tell us, Ben, is between 6 and 9 hours, depending on your own biology.
Correct.
But we also know that more than a third of American adults don't get that. So this, you probably figured this out early on, and you thought, why? If we're so sleep obsessed and we have way more comfortable mattresses than they ever had before. So what was your first revelation? What was your first aha moment?
Well, the first aha moment was that, yes, true, 6 to 9 hours is the recommended amount. But there's nothing in nature that tells us that you're supposed to do it all at once. And the way that we're told to sleep from a very early age onward in our society is to kind of bundle all our sleep together into one package and do it all at night. And through most of the history of the species, sleep was broken up into several different components. Different cultures had different ways of, expecting, when and where people were supposed to sleep. But almost no society before around the 19th century in Europe and North America expected that people would do all their sleeping at once. And so a lot of people can't accommodate themselves to this. It's a very difficult thing for people to accomplish. Sleep scientists will tell us that naturally we wake up 4 or 5 times in the middle of the night, even if we think we slept 6 to 9 hours. We've actually woken up a number of times checking the pillow, turning over, and so on. And for some people,
kicking the dog,
kicking your bedmate,
doing that may be, yeah.
Checking your phone, whatever you do. And some of us don't really notice that happening. Others get up and then think, oh my God, I have insomnia.
So one of the things which is a little bit mind-blowing is we're not talking about napping. We're talking about for a long period of time when people would go to sleep when the sun went down and then sometime in the middle of the night get up and be up for hours.
Yeah, it's called segmented sleep, and apparently it was a very common pattern in much of Europe around the 18th through the early 19th century that people would have this interval between the first and the second sleep at night. And sometimes there were rituals associated with it, like dream interpretation or prayer or lovemaking. It was thought to be a time of heightened fertility. That's by no means a default sleeping arrangement. Different societies in different parts of the globe sleep quite differently from that. So, for instance, in some regions very far from the equator where the amount of sunlight varies quite a bit from season to season, people in traditional societies would sleep for a much longer time in winter than they would in the summertime. Sleep only a few hours in the summer and then sleep 12, 14 hours in the winter. So this idea that there's one standard model and you're supposed to do it all, you know, 7 to 8 hours all at night, same way more or less every night, is a very particular and kind of strange
and recent expectation. Okay, right. So I'm speaking with Ben Reese. He is an Emory University professor, and his new book is called Wild Nights: How Taming Sleep Created Our Restless World. Now, the headline that's come out of this book, and I want to say it's the headline because the book is quite far-reaching in terms of how far it goes into. But one of the things that has come out is that African Americans get less sleep than whites do. And you quote in there Thomas Jefferson, who said that black people simply require less sleep than whites. Why would an African American get less sleep now in 2017 than a colleague who's white?
Well, there are a lot of things that are unknown about that, but it's been widely documented in public health studies that there's something called a racial sleep gap, where we talk about that 6 to 9 hour recommended window for sleep. And African Americans are much less likely than whites to get that amount, both because more of them sleep less than 6 hours than white people do, and also because more sleep more than 9 hours, which can also be unhealthy, can be associated with depression and other kind of health problems. But, there are a lot of reasons for this. And many of them have to do with broken sleep environments. African Americans are more likely to live in noisy environments, overcrowded environments, unsafe environments, to work chaotic or unpredictable or undesirable work shifts that make it hard to sleep in unbroken way at night. And so there are a lot of stressors on sleep that are quite different across the races.
And then again, that ends up having all kinds of impact on their daily life when they are awake. And one thing which was very interesting, you point to the research of, I'm remembering the name, Tiffany Yip?
Yes.
At Fordham, who studies the effects of sleep on kids in school and how it can, beginning in the early grades, this can follow them through their entire school experience in terms of just not getting enough sleep changes an A student into a C or D student.
That's right. And one of the things she was really interested in is what are the effects of experiences of ethnic discrimination on young people, and how a negative encounter during the day can really profoundly affect somebody's sleep. And then it has carryover effects into the next day in terms of concentration or motivation or mood. And things can quite quickly snowball so that a problem or a conflict creates a broken sleep pattern. And then that broken sleep pattern makes the student less equipped to kind of carry on in the next day.
Yeah, if you bring this back to the granular level, you're imagining this kid, this 8-year-old kid maybe in school, who gets called a racial slur at school that affects their sleep that night, but then it happens again the next day and affects their sleep. So it becomes this cycle where they're just not getting enough sleep, which means they're going to perform less well in school. They're going to have less healthy relationships with other people because lack of sleep also affects your ability to be friendly, even,
yeah,
or have empathy.
Yeah, and and where I went with this in my own research, and you mentioned that startling quote from Thomas Jefferson, is to say there's a history to the sleep gap and to the differences in expectations around sleep that go back to our history of racial inequality as a slaveholding nation. And Thomas Jefferson, of course, was a slaveholder, and he was looking in on a chronically exhausted population and saying, well, they require less sleep. And then he also noticed in his writing, he said, well, you know, at the end of a long day's work, the African American people on the plantation would fall asleep immediately. And he didn't attribute this to overwork or to physical exhaustion. He attributed it to a kind of intellectual insufficiency, that they couldn't keep themselves awake through powers of reflection to engage in intellectual activity and so on. So essentially justifying the chronic exhaustion of a dominated population by saying, Well, their bodies are just different, and they don't need to sleep as much.
And it goes further than that. You also point to this physician, Dr. Samuel Cartwright, who did studies. I'm putting studies in air quotes that none of my listeners can see, that black people at rest, and I'm quoting your op-ed here, black people at rest instinctively smothered their own faces with blankets or clothing, impeding the flow of oxygen to the brain, and that this obstruction permanently stunted their intellectual development. And the cure was to make them work harder.
Yeah, I mean, it's just shocking, and this was one of the most widely reprinted reports on the kind of health conditions of enslaved people in the 19th century. He was a well-known physician. And, so again, taking a chronically exhausted people and trying to say there's something biologically broken within them rather than that they're being placed into these, unspeakable sleeping conditions where, enslaved people were made to sleep often on the ground floor, sometimes shackled together when they're being transported. And to sort of blame the broken sleep on their biology was, really kind of an extraordinary trick.
And then say the cure is get out.
And then the cure is hard work.
Work harder.
And Frederick Douglass and a number of other former slaves commented on this and said, Douglass said, no fault was punished by the whip more often than oversleeping. So you get the sense that hard work, which was supposed to be the cure, was often enforced by corporal punishment.
We have a tweet from Melanie Harper who says, one huge chronically sleep-derived group is special needs parents if our kids don't sleep. Neither do we. And our own senior producer, Emily Curtin, says, I tried this second sleep thing for a few months and my dreams were incredible for whatever that means. Also on Facebook, Catherine Oxnard Ellis says, why people brag about needing less sleep, I'll never know. I love sleeping and I've always needed 8 to 10 hours a night to be a fully functioning human. She lives in Savannah. Catherine brings up an interesting point, which is that there is a certain pride people take in, I only need 5 hours of sleep. When did that happen? This bragging about needing not very little sleep.
Well, a lot of people trace it back to folks like Thomas Edison and, titans of industry in the 19th century who were, in a way, trying to hold up a model of hyper productivity that they would then hope would rub off on their workers who were often working very, very difficult shifts.
Yeah.
So this sort of cult of the, the sleepless, hardworking.
Henry Ford, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then when you have a worker who's made to work the night shift, you say, what are you complaining about? Look, the boss only sleeps 3-4 hours. So we have a president at the moment who claims to need only 3 to 4 hours sleep. And that's a part of the sort of masculine image that he wants to project of himself. So this goes pretty deep in our society.
And that would be a biological anomaly. I mean, if that's true, it's very difficult to credit. So do you feel like you, after all of this research that you did you come to a better understanding over why there's two things here, two questions it sounds like you started with. One, why are we so obsessed with sleep? And two, why aren't we getting enough? Did you get answers to those two questions?
Yeah, well, one of the answers that I got to the second question about why aren't we getting enough has to do with asking who the we is, right? And often these questions are asked in a way that presumes a sort of middle class, economically comfortable person who's struggling with sleep psychologically. But when you look at kind of the broad span of sleeping practices and arrangements, for many people, the reason why they're not getting enough sleep is more simple and elemental than that. And that is they can't afford to. To be poor is to be chronically sleep deprived, and there are people, across the world who are sleeping in very strange kind of patterns. Think about tech workers in India who are working in call centers catering to the technological needs of those of us here in the U.S. They've got to be working at 3-4 in the morning. Whole sectors of the economy have profound sleep disturbances. So I started dividing up who that we is and looking at different communities of sleepers and really what they struggle with.
So to a certain extent, this sleep obsession and anxiety is a privilege of wealth and sometimes race.
It is in a way. And we buy our way into it, right? I mean, you have your sleep tracker. People have smart beds that monitor how much we perspire and move in the night. You can have anti-snore pillows, you know, all kinds of devices to sort of customize our sleep and try to optimize it for us, as well as, you know, multi-billion dollar pharmaceutical industry that we can use to tinker with our sleep. And that's to sort of cater toward these expectations towards sleep that again, as we talked about, are pretty historically novel. But for many people, they can't buy their way into it, and they're just left to sweep up whatever scraps of sleep they can find, in their condition.
That is Emory University professor Ben Reese. He's author of the book Wild Nights: How Taming Sleep Created Our Restless World. Ben, thank you so much.
Thanks very much for having me.
That's our show for today, but we got to hear from you, right? I mean, we need to know how much sleep you're getting. Are you one of those people that only needs 5 hours, maybe? Do you get more than that? And what is keeping you up, if you know what it is? What wakes you up at night? Call 404-500-9457 and leave us a message. That's also a message machine, so you can call us in the middle of the night if you're up. You can also post on Facebook or reach us on Twitter. The show is at OST Talk, and I am at Celeste Headley. For today, that is On Second Thought from GPB News. Have a great day.